This is Tim Murdoch. You're watching White Rabbit Radio for January 15th, and it is cold. It's cold and getting colder. They're talking about minus 40? Minus 40? What's up maybe next time? 14 to you as well. Let's make sure we're running here on Rumble. Let's see. Let's make sure we're running on YouTube. And you put China in the headlines and people go wild. China's military is so weak and corrupt that invasion of Taiwan will probably topple the CCP. I am curious to see what all what all type of crazy stuff we see if they do invade Taiwan, because you have a feeling like there's some weird rules of engagement, kind of like we saw with the Ukraine type situation, Ukraine and Russia, where there's like some weird rules of engagement we're not privy to. I have a feeling Taiwan, that they will have to invade Taiwan eventually, and there'll be some weird rules of engagement. I will just look for, and I'll go over this again when I cover it. Probably won't be for another hour and a half or so. We got all kinds of other stuff to cover. But I'll go over this again, this the difference between Taiwan and China, or what I expect to see regarding the actual invasion, if it happens. I'll be looking to see how high tech it is, because any type of low tech, I mean, building barges for men to invade, you'd want to like do some type of high tech drone swarm. That's what they've been signaling. What's up, Global Chat? It is Wednesday, my dudes. What's up, Aaron White? Hopefully you guys are staying warm out there. Greetings, Stephen Squire. What's up in London? How's London Stan doing? You staying safe over there? Those Jeets got you on the run? I don't think so. Stephen Squire holds his ground in London. Should be the mayor. Definitely should be. There's an old sub right there. An old sub, maybe one of the oldest. How long did you sub to White Rabbit Radio for, Stephen Squire? It had to be over 10 years. It had to be like since the early days of the paywall. There's an old handle. Unless that someone is impersonating. Is someone impersonating Mr. Squire? I don't know. I don't know. Hopefully you guys are going all right. Europa Aeternum. Aeternum? Aeternum? I think it's supposed to be an eternity. What's up with you? Michigan is going to be negative 2. Those are rookie numbers. Compared to what? Compared to what? Compared to what? I haven't looked out to see what it's going to be. It says it's going to be negative 20 up here. Negative 20 across the Midwest. Negative 15 in Ohio. Oh, uh-oh. Lordy. Lordy, that's cold. It's cold. I got on a super thick sweatshirt. It's getting cold already. Oh, my. 2010. It's been listening to White Rabbit Radio since 2010. I put up a few podcasts since then, that's for sure. Stephen Squire, big supporter there. Long-term supporters. All long-term supporters are big supporters. I do appreciate it. Staying safe over there. One of these days, if they'll let me, I'm going to visit over there. Visit all the people I know in the United Kingdom and that little island next to you called Ireland. Maybe a couple other little islands, too. Was it Orkney? What are those islands off Scotland? Some people all over the place. If it wasn't for the fact that they probably wouldn't let me in. If they did let me in, they would probably want to arrest me for some obscure trial that happened in Germany years ago. You was undercover then. Oh, yeah. I was anonymous in 2010. That's right. I was anonymous up until 2011 when I gave that speech. It's cold for summertime in Melbourne. Is it? How cold is it? That's right. It's winter here, summer there. Be the life. Live summers in America, in a nice part of America like the Midwest. Experience fall. No sooner than you get done with fall, have hunting season, right around deer hunting season, right after, you fly off to Australia for spring. There you go. What's up, Noctis Ambulo? What are you doing? I grew up in the UP, negative 30 for 2 months straight. Oh, wow. Did you hunt up in the UP? What'd you hunt up in the UP? UP is an intriguing, underrated. It's like a little Alaska. It's like a little Alaska. Everything that happens in Alaska happens in the UP. Generally speaking, Alaska's bigger, louder. They got bears in the UP. Yeah, they do. Just not grizzlies that I know of, unless one of them invades from somewhere else. You squirrel hunt? Squirrel hunt with the 22? All right. Probably not with the 22. 410 or something? You cheat. You kill squirrels with 12 gauge? Yeah, Shetlands. Yeah, the Shetland Islands. There you go. 20 degrees Celsius. Oh man, someone's gonna have to convert that to Fahrenheit. I don't remember what 20 degrees Celsius is. Oh, like 50 degrees or something, right? Oh, squirrel hunt. I can't believe the only thing you did in the UP is squirrel hunt. I mean, they got moose. Can't you get a moose license or a moose pass? That particular, the moose and elk licenses. And most people don't know this, but you can hunt elk and moose in Michigan. Getting the permit for it is somewhat difficult because there's a 30,000 people in the lottery in front of you. But sometimes in like places like the UP, you get those special passes. No, I hunt with birdshot 12 gauge. Woo! Woo! It's a big round for a little squirrel. That's all right. It's all right. Bundle up. It's going to feel like minus 40 once the coldest temperatures in the year arrive. Look out. Look out. I hail Hitler, nigga. Who is this? I don't know. It looks familiar. It looks like some kind of Hollywood actress or something. Who's putting this up? Shay, okay. True Seeker. I don't even know who that is. I hail Hitler, nigga. Okay. Okay. All right. When I lived there, they were transplanting moose in the UP. Yeah, well, mook and elk used to be plentiful in the Midwest, and they were hunted down. They were hunted down over a period of time, but that period of time is long past. And so they were bringing them back in. I think the elk herd was just very, very small. They might have brought some back of those as well, but it was very small and they've been breeding it up, not allowing too many to hunt. But sooner or later, the population will explode, which will be nice. Because the license to hunt moose and elk in Michigan are very small compared to other places. In Canada, we have to apply for moose tags. Yeah, moose tags, you have to apply for them all over here too. But and they would be pretty expensive, I would say. Maybe not for Alaska though. We apply in groups to make sure at least one of us got us in the hunting party. Oh, that's kind of a good plan. Share the meat. It's a lot of meat though. An elk. I watched an elk hunt in Michigan a few years back. It was pretty wild. They got a tag, and they got an early tag, which means they were allowed to go in August, September, and there's another late one, like in December. It was pretty crazy, though. It's pretty crazy. All right, this is the account that posts all kinds of National Socialist New Age memes. I hail Hitler, nigga. Okay. All right, here's your white man for the day. What's up, Ryan? GGG, moose hunting talk, I don't know, for the lol. Moose hunting talk, I don't know. Well, I'd be more interested in hunting elk. I've never had moose. Not that I'm opposed to eating moose. But elk is more of an interest to me. Elk and mule deer. I think they taste pretty good. Deer, I like deer. Venison in Michigan can be, it's not super gamey unless you get one of those swamp deer. Like in the South, a lot of those deer in the South can be pretty gamey tasting. In Michigan, you cut it with beef fat. Once you process it, and you really can't tell it's deer. A lot of people eating it will be like, this is beef. It's not beef. Like in chili or something, they can't even tell. But saving a wolf, yeah, this is pretty good. What's up, Ryan GGG? A homesteader like you should be willing to hunt and fish for anything you have to hunt and fish for. Old Saucy meat is pretty good. Moose is pretty good. Moose meat. Yeah, elk, I know something about moose. Mammoth. There you go. We got some mammoth. Got some mammoth meat. Well, I don't know about all that. And so what we have here, I'm going to have to narrate this. What we have here is we have a, can you guys see that? Hold on. Let me take, make sure you guys get the full view. We got this moose here, and but it's not a moose. It's a wolf, and it doesn't realize the dude trying to help it is a white man. And since it's a white man, it doesn't realize that this trap is temporary. And so the white man with a wonderful streamlined shaved noggin is navigating around by pinning down the poor wolf's neck, trying to help it, and he's basically using his feet and hands to undo the trap, which doesn't look easy to do. It doesn't look easy to do. But since he's a white man, he figures it out because we invented these traps. I think we invented them. And so the moose is... I keep saying the moose. You guys still talking about moose in the chat. The wolf now runs away. Happily ever after. Let's watch again. So here's the poor wolf. Now he's got a dog... I call him a dog stick. It's a stick with a noose at the end. It allows you to suspend a dog or an animal by the neck and kind of hold it out of the way. And he's navigating around to basically undo the trap that caught the poor wolf. Obviously, its foot is not broken. It's running away okay. I don't know who's filming. He might have just set a tripod up and filmed it. You know, I can't eat game because I get gout. What? Moose gives you a lot of meat. It can run into the thousands to have it cut up. Well, having a deer processed now is generally a couple $100. But you know how that goes. You guys know how that goes. Everything's getting more expensive. I don't know. I like the sausages and depending on what process or who's processing it, the sausages and some of the different steak cuts, ground moose, I guess would be okay. Ground elk, ground deer, I eat all the time. Meaning like ground beef. It's what it's similar to. I would think game would be a lot cleaner and not give you gout. You just can't eat a bunch of gravy. No more squirrel dumplings for you. Yeah, it is a happy wolf. It's very much a happy wolf. It's a super happy wolf. The AK-47 is way tougher than you think. Okay. Let's check out the AK-47 being way tougher. The wolf was more well-behaved than most diverse criminals. There's a fact for you. It's a sad fact. It's a very sad fact. We're going to hunt mammoth? Yeah, what's your guys' preferred weapon to hunt with? A spear? I see these guys complaining about crossbow hunters being in bow hunting season. There's always something online for someone to complain about. But I don't know. Crossbows are similar to guns. It doesn't take an incredible amount of skill to fire one. Fire one off and kill an animal, unlike an actual bow or like a compound bow or an old-fashioned style bow. But those guys are really pissed about crossbow season because, like in Michigan, bow hunting season is what, September? So you can hunt in bow hunting season with a crossbow, and man, do they get fired up over it. But I mean, if you had to get meat for your family, if you have to tag a deer or several deer, obviously you're going to use any advantage. And what's going on is the guys are killing the big bucks early season with those damn crossbows because they're like guns. I mean, they go a lot longer, but why complain? Just get a crossbow. But man, does it rustle jimmies. It's not like a real thing, and it's not fair. They should be hunting with a real weapon like a compound bow and save that for gun season. I mean, you could say the same thing as a compound bow. It's not fair. You're hunting with a compound bow. You need to be forced to hunt with a blowgun. You need to be forced to hunt with a spear. You can make that argument all day long, right? When it comes to hunting, you make all kinds of friggin' arguments. it's not fair. You shouldn't be able to hunt with that gun or this weapon or that weapon, or it's not fair to allow that during this season or that season. Go hunt with a spear, dude. You know, bring out the late August spear season. Saw a video of a white guy who saved a wolf and kept it like a dog. Yeah, it'd have to be small. Catholic Church actually banned crossbows for several centuries. It wasn't unchivalrous and dishonorable warfare. Yeah, I can imagine white societies on an all-white planet having some advanced weaponry and not allowing anything but swords during battles and all kinds of stuff like that. Get up close and personal. I can imagine whites doing something like that. Let's see what's up with an AK-47. See if we can learn us something about the AK, which is a weapon of choice.
Actually, the AK-47 is way tougher than you'd think. First, remove the dust cover. It's optional. It still fires fine. Even if the stock and flash hider are gone, still works.
That's why they prefer them in third world countries.
What's even more wild, the mag and gas tube can be discarded. Now, it's a single-shot rifle. You need to manually load and chamber.
I never knew all this.
If you don't like this, buy two cheap rubber bands. Hook one end to the empty receiver and other to the bolt. Now it can still fire.
That's crazy.
Or just carve a small stick. My girlfriend was shocked by this. Speaking of girlfriends, even if the gas system is broken, there is a fix. Cut a plastic bottle in half, place it on gas tube, shoots again.
Oh my God. I'd have to see
without
this
a bottle,
to believe it.
Use a plastic tube. Cut the needed length, slice it halfway, and wire it on the gas tube.
So tell me this isn't your apocalyptic weapon of choice. No matter what happens, this gun's going to work.
Actually, the AK-47 is
the last gun to work during the apocalypse is going to be an AK-47.
It's way tougher than you'd think. First, remove the dust cover. It's optional. It still fires
crazy.
Fine. Even if
absolutely
the stock and flash
bonkers
hider are gone, still works.
I never knew any of this. I knew it could fire in mud and everything else, but you know.
What's even more wild, the mag and gas tube can be discarded. Now, it's a single-shot rifle. You need to manually load and chamber. If you don't like this, buy two cheap rubber bands. Hook one end to the empty receiver and other to the bolt.
Bungee cords.
Now it can still fire.
Bayonet. And it's still firing. It's firing. There's a million different ways to make this thing fire.
Or just carve
it. It looks like. Plastic bottle instead of the actual gas. I'm impressed by that. Yeah, it is impressive. I was not expecting that. I was expecting a couple tricks. I wasn't expecting all that. So this gun's something to be rivaled. You know, what do you do with it? Will you dress up as Juju the Cow at a party with Ethan Ralph and the Odyssey CEO? Oh, we're going to have to hear this. What's this? This is looks like Pot Awful talking to Ethan Ralph. We'll see what this is about. Ethan is on a new arc. He left Masterson? No way. You mean they like got in a fight? I think they fought before, but it's like permanent? That's heavy duty. I'm going to have to read up on what's going on.
The point I'm saying is you're that high and you're going to start seeing things. I mean, the machine elves are going to get
to you. Believe me.
But imagine a guy dressed as a cow comes. The point I'm
AK Operators Union on YouTube does stress test on each AK brand and leaves them submerged in a lake for a week. Shove sand in the rifle and shooting. They all work, basically. Yeah, he does kind of look like a young Ozzy Osbourne. I'll give you that. That's pretty funny, Ryan GGG. But I knew stuff like that because that's why the Africans choose them. You really can't destroy them. And the Africans need a lot of help when it comes to weapons, you know. Didn't the U.S. block AK imports from Russia a while back during the sanctions? Yeah, we got a lot of companies making nice AK knockoffs these days. some nice AKs coming out of America these days, but we've always been able to manufacture guns.
Saying is, you're that high, and you're going to start seeing things. I mean, the machine elves are going to get to you.
Believe me.
But imagine a guy dressed as a cow comes at you while you're that high. You're liable to do anything in that moment. He's squirting his udders at you and jacking off with a
purple
dildo.
He's never
going
to forgive me for telling this story, and I know people don't believe it, but we went to a rave. It was Playa or something in Vegas, and we went with the head of Odyssey, Julian. We went.
Wow.
With Dick, and
he's dropping names.
We went with 80s girl, and me and Julian are just wearing regular clothes, way too light, by the way, because it's super fucking cold in Las Vegas on New Year's Eve. Just spoiler alert. Anyway, I was way underdressed, but I didn't care. You know, it's like, okay, I've never been to a rave, you know, ecstasy.
I bought several AKs and a couple U.S. made AKs, all performed super well. What is your favorite U.S. made AK?
Everywhere, you know, whatever. Okay, let's do some drugs.
Now, that shoots more than one type of round, doesn't it?
I swear to God on my life, and I won't put my children into this. I'll just keep myself here. They both had on matching cow outfits. I swear to God. I swear to God.
Palmetto State Armory.
And I didn't understand. I was like, I don't know if they were playing into the... Maybe they were playing into the meme, to be fair. No. I don't know.
No, he doesn't do that.
He's... No, they literally both had on matching cow outfits. I swear to God. Ask Julian. Like, I don't know if he'll tell you the truth or not, but I swear to God.
When was this? When was this?
This was like 2021, the last day of the year.
Okay, so he's fighting with Dick Masterson. Dick Masterson, they're done. All right. Battle State Armory. I mean, Dick Masterson's longtime co-host left, which kind of surprised me. But I don't know Dick. I don't know Dick. Palmetto State Armory. Let's check out. Ooh. Yes, I'm 18. Ooh, look at this. Look at this AK-47. Look at that can on there. Holy cow. That's pretty cool looking. Oh. Soviet. These are 9mm. I don't want 9mm. It's a 5.56. I don't want 5.56. Oh, here. Soviet arms. Classic. 9.49? Okay. Grand, basically. A grand, basically. All right. Palmetto State Armory, huh? I don't know. Don't know. Learning a few things, though. Learning a few things from you guys. Now, there's a lot of things in the news right now. And this is the thing. We are basically... It's all the psychology of the con. First, people are... they won't admit they've been conned. And then they start laughing at the con artists. Yeah. You got me. And then they're angry at the con artists. You know, it's like, won't admit it. Then they're laughing at it, accepting the fact they've been conned. Now they're really angry at it, at the con. But this anti-white discrimination lawsuit, we've seen things like this before. This one is a lot bigger deal, is what this guy is saying in this video. And we're going to watch the first so many minutes of it. It's 20 minutes long, but it's pretty good. First few minutes are pretty good. In so much as you got the average guy is not aware of this stuff yet. I mean, they're aware they're being discriminated against, average white man. But they're not aware of lawsuits like this happening and what they could mean. And that's what I find. What's up, Galaxy Wanderer? Hopefully you're doing okay out there and staying warm wherever you're at. But let's watch this. This is about anti-white discrimination lawsuits pending against IBM and Red Hat. Now, Red Hat is very famous for Linux and Linux certification. Correct me if I'm wrong. The 1 year after the explosive IBM and Red Hat leaks, we look at each lawsuit and the people involved in the racist practices. He should say anti-whitism.
December of 2023, the Lunduke Journal and O'Keefe Media published a series of leaks from whistleblowers with inside IBM and Red Hat. Those leaks were what I would consider to be the biggest tech news story of the last year, possibly of the last several years. Those leaks alleged and provided significant amount of evidence to support the accusations that IBM and Red Hat had significantly racist hiring practices, where they had quotas of how many people of certain skin colors they could and could not hire, and specific bonuses that were given to people for not hiring white people. We have video evidence of this from the CEO of
IBM. Now, I've never heard of the Lund Journal.
We have video evidence of this from the CEO of Red Hat, Matt Hicks, the largest Linux company in the world, where he specifically talked and bragged about needing to hit those anti-white quotas. We even have, and this is truly spectacular, the complete Prez PowerPoint slide deck of an anti-white presentation where they say, quote, white people feed and thrive on power at the expense of other races and go on.
Now, this has been going on for decades, but it's now getting some traction, some attention. People are getting pissed off and starting to sue. And that's finally starting to get some type of a mainstream type of attention across whitosphere, if we don't want to, whatever it is. Whoever's unaware out there, you know, we got a whole new crops becoming aware. Let's put it to you that way.
To talk at length about all of the many bad things about white people, including things you can say that are bad about white people and how you can't say those things about black people because black people are great. It's really the possibly the most racist PowerPoint slide deck in human history. Now, since that time, there's just a huge amount. If you want to go through the absolutely massive number of emails, PowerPoint slide decks, and everything, I'm putting a link to the What We've Learned So Far article wherever you're watching or listening to this, and you can go through all of them yourself. But what I wanted to go through today is what has resulted from that, right? This was 1 year ago when I would say it's not even arguable, but the most explosive and crazy news story hit the big tech world. What has happened? Well, we have three lawsuits pending right now in the courts in front of judges alleging anti-white discrimination of employees. One, by the government itself. And I also want to go through, after we've gone through the status of all those lawsuits, so you know exactly what's happening, I also want to go through what has happened to the people who perpetrated this racism. What has happened to the CEO of Red Hat and IBM? What has happened to all of the people who crafted...
These guys all need to say anti-whiteism.
...did a PowerPoint slide deck telling you how evil white people is. And to be clear, this was...
Because racism is something only white people can practice, right?
It was a slide deck... Just this really needs to be said. That was an official Red Hat slide deck with Red Hat logos all over it, given to Red Hat employees, developed with Red Hat money, and officially sanctioned by Red Hat management. So what has happened to all of the people that were involved in this extreme racism that has resulted in massive lawsuits against the tech giant? It would seem like something would happen, but has it? Let's go through all that. But first, let's talk about the individual lawsuits. The first one comes from an individual named Alan Wood. Now, Alan Wood put forth a very simple lawsuit. It alleged significant racial, religious, and gender discrimination and the discriminatory policies there.
So basically, a whole new group is discovering what they should have known about a long time ago if the media was actually the media. But unless you know where to go online, unless you've come across something like this, you really are unaware of the massive amount of discrimination. You're probably aware of some discrimination. We know from polling, a lot of whites are. But exactly the extent of it in various different sectors.
And the Rights Act and the Supreme Court decision of Students for Fair Admissions. Based on what I can see, that
it's about IBM using diversity modifier to shackle executive compensation to meeting race, color, national origin, sex, ancestry based on employment quotas. Holy shit.
Does make a whole lot of sense. Now, we're waiting again for company fired him because he is a white man. Of course, this follows other lawsuits.
This has been going on quite a while, obviously. It's something you guys know about. It might be boring. DEI consultant and facilitator, Kendall House, Red Hat Build, San Francisco Bay Area. These are all the shills for Red Hat. Ant Moorer, she, her, Raleigh, North Carolina, from Chaos to Clarity. All right, all these consultants. Lauren Pritchett, editorial content strategy at Red Hat. whole new crop is learning. This is 88,000. What a number. 88,000 subscriber channel on YouTube, the Lunduke channel. Any company with DEI policy needs to face discrimination lawsuits. All right. Linux sucks. So this is somewhat of a tech. Banned C++ contributor speaks out. A banned C++ contributor? Is there even such a thing?
Last week, the Lunduke Journal shared the story of a gentleman by the name of Andrew Tomazos. Now, Andrew Tomazos is a software developer that works with the C++ Standards Group, known as WG21, Working Group 21. This is the organization, the ISO organization, that sets the standard for the C++ programming language. And considering how important C++ is to the world, this is a pretty important standards body. Well, Andrew Tomazos was removed from that organization entirely. He was kicked out, given the boot, banned, if you will, because he used the word, and I'm quoting here, question in a technical paper. That really was the reason he was banned, at least as far as we knew. This was crazy. This was wild. Why on earth would a standard organization
we don't have the whole story, guys.
Technical standard for C++, an organization that assuredly asks a large number of questions all the time, object to someone using the word question in a technical document? This was insane. This was bonkers. So the Lunduke Journal naturally reached out to everyone we could think of, multiple points of contact. We reached out to some individuals within that working group directly. We did everything we could to try and get to the bottom of this, and people went into lockdown. In fact, the ISO standard C++ working group Twitter or X account locked themselves down in response to the show that the Lunduke Journal published. So after the Lunduke Journal published the show about this just last week, boom, they went into lockdown. These posts are protected. Only approved followers can see ISO that is. Interestingly, you can go read this over at tomazos.com. TOMAZOS.com. And he published this as a PDF because I believe he shared this with individuals with inside the working committee.
So Lunduke is actually, the Lunduke Journal is covering anti-whiteism in the tech industry. And what do you want to bet the C++ Standards Committee did not get rid of him for the word question per se?
And I'm going to read a little bit of it to you now, and I have some additional thoughts I'd like to share. It's just interesting to note what he thinks is happening, and he dispels many of the myths that have come out around this. There's been a great deal of people talking about things like, oh, Andrew Tomazos was really banned from the C++ group because he was committing all sorts of horrible acts, and this was just the last straw, and so they kicked him out. Turns out that's not true.
This is probably going to be a fascinating story. I'm going to have to listen to the whole thing. I wasn't expecting to find any more interesting stuff on his channel. The Lunduke Journal. We'll have to stay tuned to see what whites are just now learning about, how you can't say certain things and how you're going to get discriminated against and just how bad was the discrimination. And it'll still be bad. They just won't be calling it. It just won't be as out and as out in the open. There's enough non-whites in Western civilization to create the universal fantasy kingdom that they want to create. What's up, Desi Mac? I refuse to code because white people invented it. There you go. Total support for heroic Candace Owens. Macron is a pervert. His wife is a trans woman and trans monkey. He has to repent. Alexander Dugan. Alexander Dugin. That is the real one. Holy cow. Alexander Dugin. Yes. Russian Professor Dugin labels French President Macron's wife a transgender monkey. Sometimes he's funny. You can't trust this guy, though. He says he's the type of person that will say usually something to ingratiate or try to find common ground with whoever he's talking to. In a very duplicitous way, seemingly. He's also most likely definitely a Russian intelligence asset. In other words, if he's talking to Dr. David Duke, which he has in Moscow, he's going to say something, you know, in agreement. Yeah, white nationals are fine as long as they're not globalist. I mean, they're very well aware of the history of America, but Dugin calling Macron's wife a transgender monkey. I think Macron should fight him. You're going to have to fight him. What's up, War Goose? Good evening to you. This is relatively entertaining. Let's get on with the show. No, I haven't covered. I cover war porn toward the end to let you guys get in here. I know the first half hour, I just got stuff I'm kind of meandering through, like, you know, white guy saves wolf, AK-47 cool stuff, which surprised me. Did not know all that about AK-47s. The things you'll learn on White Rabbit Radio. And you might, in the middle of the apocalypse, see this AK-47 that no one else can fire and immediately put a pop bottle on it, cut a plastic pop bottle in half and have yourself a weapon, and you'll be running that part of the universe. Oh, these are two young kids in Klan outfits. I'm kind of reminded of that one Die Hard where they put Bruce Willis out with that sign in Harlem saying, what, kill all niggers or something like that? I hate all niggers. You guys remember that? Which Die Hard was that? Die Hard with a Vengeance? It's a hunting license now. It's a hunting license. I don't know where this is at. Are they even white? They're going crazy. I wonder if they're Jewish. Where is this at? Somewhere warm on Halloween, if it is Halloween. The holiday where people dress as demons, murderers, serial killers, horror movie characters, and mostly prostitutes, but pretending to be racist is off limits? Question mark. Costumes were a poor choice. Well, they're not as understanding. Not as understanding. They both look Hispanic. The irony is KKK would have liked them back in the day. Wouldn't have liked them back in the day. They do look Hispanic. I'm thinking they were probably Jewish kids. What's the holiday the Jewish kids dress up for? Purim? I don't know if they're allowed to dress up as Klansmen, though. We played this the other day. This is the transgender guest on MSNBC, and this is not quite the own she thought it would be. I'm sorry. This is Laverne Cox. It's a guy trying to be a woman. But Vincent James played this. We have another one to play for you guys, but check this out. Well, check this out. Rehash your memory here.
And there's been a rise in anti-Semitism all over the country right now, and it's disgusting. And it's
they did not look like white kids in Klan outfits, though. They looked like either Jewish, Hispanic, something like that.
It's horrible. People should know that one of the first things that the Nazis did, I think it was in 1933, was they burned Magnus Hirschfeld's gender for sexuality. Magnus Hirschfeld was studying trans people, LGBTQ people. Lily Elbe, who the Danish girl, the film The Danish Girl was about, she had her first gender-affirming procedure at Magnus Hirschfeld's clinic.
She said, we're undercover.
Nazis burned it down. All of this research. And
yeah, that wasn't quite the own she thought it was, talking about Nazis burning books about transgenderism and burning down the first transgender operating room and so on and so forth, etc. The first transgender clinic, you know. Well, you notice that blacks are always loud. What's up, Druidic? Hopefully you guys are doing all right. Yeah, they rightfully, they thought this was like some kind of big own. It's not. It's like a promotion for the Nazis. But this kind of blew me away. I mean, I don't know anything about this Lady MAGA other than the memes. I think it's grotesque. But this is actually Lady MAGA. Like the Republican drag queen, you know, did all that for money and faggot for sure. Yeah, I guess. But this kind of, the first part of this kind of caught me off guard. Someone sent this in. I didn't know he's pro-white, openly pro-white. What does he have? He has on like some kind of like orange hoodie. Let's listen for a second here. Since he's not dressed up in drag, we'll have a listen here. I don't even know, is he still wearing drag? Is that still a thing?
Hello, cupcakes.
He definitely seems a little gay. It's how you gays smoke cigarettes,
I'm
going
to talk about why I'm pro-white.
Okay.
Before I do that, I got to clarify. I am not trans. Stop thinking that I'm trans, okay? Look at me. I am not trans. One. Two, stop asking what I do with my beard when I'm Lady MAGA USA. I shave it off. So now that that's out of the way, let me explain why I'm pro-white. People of European descent, meaning...
Jesus, I wasn't expecting this. Whoever sent this in?
Europeans and white Americans of European descent are being eradicated from the planet. We are a tiny, tiny minority on this planet. Roughly 8% of the entire planet. So yes, I am racist.
I don't know. What's the difference between drag queens and tranny? Well, drag queens, I think, are men. They're not trying to be women. They dress up like women, but they're not trying to be women by taking hormones, right? I don't know. I can't fucking get anything straight.
Conscious. And when I say race conscious, it's not about my skin color. There's plenty of black people who are way smarter than I am. But I will defend my people, and I will point out eradication as it's happening. Look at London. Look at London. Lots of fun, right? Lots of fun. Very British. They got Sadiq Khan as their governor or whatever, their mayor.
So basically, we got white nationalist faggots.
Ruining it. Europe is destroyed. It's culturally decimated. And we have stupid white European women in Germany.
I don't know. I always say they're all faggots to me, not they're all trannies. I can't keep track of nothing.
Singing a song about welcoming refugees. Now, that sounds really nice. So when I say I'm pro-white, I'm talking about not ruining countries that are great because of white people of European descent, like Australia, like the United States, like Europe. So I'm talking about everything not being destroyed.
Drag queens, as a form of performance art, a stage thing, not a lifestyle. That's what they would say. One is mentally ill, the other is just fucking crazy. Okay.
By cultures that hate us or do not wish to integrate. All right? I don't want Haitians in America. I don't. They don't share my way of life. They don't share my core values. They don't appreciate what America is. Okay? So it's not racist to say I don't want Haitians here. And if white people were taking over Haiti...
That is the problem with faggots, maybe next time. That is the problem. The problem is statistics and the amount of pedophiles.
Haitians would complain, okay?
That's the problem.
We cannot party with the Haitians. If white people were taking over Nigeria, they would be up in arms, okay?
I mean, the level of knowing is so far that a guy has a six... Lady MAGA, this is the Lady MAGA, the drag queen. I don't know if drag queen story hour. I don't know if he participated in that crazy shit. I don't know. But he's on basically with a beard and a hoodie. I mean, if someone just showed me this, I wouldn't know it was Lady MAGA. I'd just assume it's a white guy. And he's spitting out all kinds of basically pro-white 101 type facts. What do you guys think about that? Is it an op?
Be furious. So guess what?
Well, I mean, gay acceptance in America is way too high. It's way too high. Gay acceptance in America is way too high. With that being said, gay acceptance is so high, something like this could really flip some people out.
Yes, I pay attention to the European white male.
Okay.
You're under attack.
He doesn't like women.
Okay. Can't get a job in tech. All right? There's no special privileges. Can't get into a university.
Lady MAGA is a grift. I think it was a very good grift. I think he made a lot of money off that, I would imagine.
And it's not
probably selling Trump t-shirts.
The victim card. Pointing out literal decimation of your culture and your people is not playing the victim card at all, at all. It's simply pointing out and stating the obvious. Does this mean I don't want any immigrants into the United States? No. I would fully be okay with a tiny, very controlled, very limited immigration procedure for those who can contribute to America and who are fully willing to speak English and fully assimilate into our way of life. The Indians are on the radar right now. You know, there's lots of racism about the Indians. Okay, I know some fine, incredible, brilliant, gorgeous, wonderful Indian people. Does that mean the billions of people in India should just be able to come into our country without a limit and take over? No, because most of them don't assimilate.
All right, he was doing good in the beginning. He was doing good. But he didn't hold on to the pro-whiteness. He's kind of deviating. He's going for a trickle. Saying that this is kind of a classic Republican style trick. Trickle some white nationalisms. And once you trickle some white nationalisms, then you come back. You come back to faggotry. And you let off. You let off for a little stream of Indians because Indians are wonderful people. Blah, 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 blah. Pretty soon, Brahmins will be Aryans. It's a slippery slope. Be hard asses. Always be hard asses, guys. Always be hard ass, especially in America. You got free speech. No use not to be a hard ass in America. If you're a European and say, look, I got to be diplomatic here and diplomatic here because I got to navigate this because for me going to jail, it's kind of a waste of time. We already got too many guys in jail. Understandable for a European. I'll listen to some stuff. The golden one, guys are hard on him historically. But the fact of the matter is he says the wrong thing. He's going to jail. So, you know, he's got to do what he's got to do. But in America, no breaks. No breaks at all. Hard, 1488, nonstop. Yeah, you can be diplomatic still, but you don't have to let off. Fan of the era, how you doing today, sir? Hopefully 100 years from now, no one will know the difference between L's, G's, T's, etc. They'll all be called faggots. That's kind of my thing. At first, it was the gay community, and then it was like LGBTQ plus, whatever. I just call them faggots. I mean, I think even gays call them faggots, historically. Rebel Science, great information, and great informative and humorous show as usual. Thank you very much, Rebel Science, for your generous support over there on Entropy. Holy cow. We've got, okay, we're lighting up on Rumble. You guys love the Rumble. Rumble, man. I don't know. That platform's growing. It's growing. Now, this type of thing is kind of like par for the course online. There's so much of this out there. Yeah, so Lady MAGA was a letdown. Letdown. Whoever sent that in, it was going okay. I was going to play it until he became a faggot, and which is what he is, and hit the brakes. He needs to go hard. Forget the moderation. Forget the moderation. He should be carrying the AK-47. We need to start killing white people. That's the only way racism is going to die. This type of thing, it's kind of like a Quentin Tarantino film over and over again. This is all over the media, the social media online. Everyone's looking at this stuff 24/7. Let's see the whole entire picture here for you guys. 24/7, 365, I hate white people, total anti-whiteism. That gets us somewhere. At least it's honest. At least it's honest. This is kind of throwing me off. Charleston White, I think he got the memo that there's going to be some changes in America, and a lot they're going to thin the herd among the blacks, and they better start acting nice, or the elites are going to get rid of all of them permanently. He's got the memo on something. Because he's doing like an HT. Correct me if I'm wrong. We're going to watch this. He's doing like an HT, like a black version of an HT here, at least in the first 30 seconds, or a black version of Gypsy Crusader. Obviously, he's not doing the same thing. I'm not saying he's like ripping them off 100%, but he's going in that direction, telling girls not to date black guys or some shit like that. Let's watch this. What's the world coming to? What's the world coming to?
You like rappers?
Yeah.
Oh, shit. God, man, a white girl that like rappers. What the fuck is America coming to? What the fuck? I just, man, please tell me you like country western singers and baseball players.
Yeah, but what kind of music do you listen to?
Opera and white gospel. Okay. Yeah, I like white gospel.
So basically, he is doing the whole entire, what app is this? What is the app they're all using now? Because I know Omegle, it all changes all the time. What are they using right now? Because this doesn't look like anything. Well, it's on a cell phone. I mean, it's on a smartphone, so it's not on a computer, so I can't tell.
Please tell me you're not the kind of lily white girl to date black guys, aren't you? You do have a white boyfriend, though.
No.
You live in New York City? You don't have a white boyfriend?
I don't have a white boyfriend, no.
You don't have a Puerto Rican boyfriend, do you?
No.
You don't? Please don't tell me you got one of them rapping niggas. Oh, shit, man. This is why we need President Trump back in office.
President Trump's going to stop this?
This is what he meant by make America great. A white girl like you don't have no business. Man, look how pretty you are as a white girl. Why you want to come over down off to the ghetto and date a nigga basketball playing that nigga?
This is like a lightweight version of Gypsy Crusader, who would be ragging her out, making fun of her.
He plays football.
What?
He plays football.
Oh, shit, don't you go broke 5 years after leaving the NFL? If nothing there, get you a nigga playing baseball player. Don't get in half one of them NFL nigga that's running their heads in the shit. They can't think. And then they come. Did you see what Ray Rice did to his girlfriend knocked out?
That's so terrible.
Did you see what Ray Rice did to his woman knocked out completely?
Now, he's even talking about blacks beating the shit out of their white girlfriends.
Cold cocky.
There is Orchid Man on the money. Trump is all for the lower classes to race mix. Pronto. And the upper classes will all be half Jew. Pronto.
Football player. You don't want to date a football player. Date you a black wrestler.
What app is this? What is this Victory Lap app? What app is this?
Maybe a tennis player, Tiger Woods kind of guy. Tiger hadn't had a lot of problems throughout his life. Oh. But the football player, nigga, they going to go to jail. You don't want a guy that's going to go to jail. He's going to leave your kids fatherless and all that shit. You don't want that, do you? Y'all are going to make pretty babies. You're going to have a pretty mulatto, Obama-looking baby with no dad. And then you're going to have to go try to find a white guy that want to try to adopt a half-black baby. You're not going to treat him right. So please, whatever you do, just date him. Don't mate him, okay? Can you do that? Date him. Don't mate him. Don't mate him, motherfucker.
Okay.
White football players don't fare well. White bankers and white Wall Stock investors do much better than a white quarterback.
What's the world coming to when Charleston White turns into Gypsy Crusade? Because you know he ripped him the stuff off them. He has to be influenced by the social media success of a Gypsy Crusader. And so he does a black version of that because he knows whites are going to eat it up. Kind of crazy. Just like most video chatting platforms on the list, Monkey comes in an app for both Android phones and iPhones. Okay. Is that Money or Monkey? You see, Monkey's the one that Gypsy Crusader uses. I know nothing about the. I know they were changing them. I know that there's a lot of rules on these things. You know. Kind of crazy. And Charleston White is running that, and that has traction. That has traction. They're eating this up. What it'll do is it'll enforce more of this. Do I think it's a bad thing? Well, if he's going to do it, he might as well do it from a. He might as well do it from a no race mixing perspective. I mean, I don't trust the guy, but, you know, he's doing what's going to make money during the Trump era. The funny thing is he can do that and be monetized on all these different platforms. And any of our guys try to do that, you're going to have to be taking super chats on entropy only. That's the only thing that's disturbing. So it's kind of like a Tate-like ordeal where Andrew Tate can be pro-white, and we're going to get to Tate here in a minute. But if and be monetized up the ass. Now, I don't know if he believes what he's telling us. I don't know what he believes, other than he's a Muslim, whatever. But this whole entire thing is totally fake and gay. He can be pro-white and be monetized up the ass, even on X. But no one else can be. No one else can be, unless you really step on glass all the time. You know, you're walking on bottles, basically. HT uses one TV, okay. All right. Carney Corner. I think a lot of people see the writing on the wall. I mean, first was the black Republican. Now you're going to have the black, the Asian, Hispanic, white nationalist. The faggot white nationalist. You following me? I see it as just a sign of the times. It's, some people would say it's winning. It's not what winning looks like to me, but it's what happens when your message goes mainstream, but yet you have zero power, which is kind of wild. We have insane power online, but converting that into power in the street, anytime you start making progress, you get the shit suit out of you, which holds us back enormous when it comes to our talented organizers. And plus, that they can't use Facebook, they don't have normal social media accounts, they can't even have bank accounts. I'm thinking Thomas Rousseau, as well as others, you know. Rats on a sinking ship. Ben Shapiro. Ben, anyone who wants to talk with Andrew Tate should talk with him. Obviously, it's a free country. The real problem is so many cheerleading and applauding a self-professed pornographer who opposes the most basic standards of virtue. Why is a Jew making this basic point that no one else can make in the mainstream? Probably because he's so rich he can afford to. Yeah, why does he worry about the rabbis running Pornhub? Maybe he does. Probably not. Probably not. They operate as an in-group, out-group. So anything Jews do is okay. At least it's not open to public criticism. I know that behind the scenes they can kvetch and criticize each other. But Andrew Tate, of course, is not Jewish, so he's you know, it's open game on them. Let's play this and see what he gets right. Let me see, am I covering this up? Yeah, let me do something here. Let me turn off the camera so we can see the whole entire thing. This is Ben Shapiro's take. This is a long one. I don't want to play the whole thing.
They're going to get hearings this week, maybe votes this week. All the fallout from the fires in California of the United States. Watch live. Lena Habba was really praising Tate, and so was Benny Johnson. And this erupted into a controversy. Here's what that sounded like.
Nice to meet you. I'm a big fan.
Nice to meet you. I'm a fan. You're the one saving Trump. You're doing more important work than me.
America, not just Trump. And I agree with everything you just said. And I think that your anger is the same that President Trump has for our country. And the time is now for us to stop being wimps. I think that's exactly the right sentiment. And I also have to say that I sympathize with you because I think you go through a lot of the same, show me the person, I'll find the crime that President Trump has gone through.
Okay, what Alina Habba is saying there is not actually true about Andrew Tate. He is not of the same ilk as President Trump. Find me the person and I'll find you the crime. That is true of President Trump. That is not particularly true of Andrew Tate. And Russell Brand, of course, rushed to the defense of all of this. Russell Brand.
Ben Shapiro looks like a Turk. Not to me. To me, he looks like an Ashkenazi Jew with a little bit of plastic surgery.
Then suggested that.
Not to say he does have plastic surgery, but that's what he looks like.
Who objected to the treatment of Andrew Tate on the right, that they needed to sort of check their problems at the door. Here was what Russell had to say.
Someone like Andrew Tate, with the audience he has, could make a significant difference if correctly backed. He does say some stuff that's pretty out there. But the fact is, in a democracy, if someone is able to glean popular support, they can have a mandate. They should be represented. I suppose what's more significant and interesting to me is the way that figures like Andrew Tate or Tommy Robinson have always been maligned, I think, to place an impassable threshold around systems of influence and power. You can have your own views of Andrew Tate. You might think he's misogynistic or vulgar, but the fact is he appeals to a lot of people and he represents some things that a lot of people are very interested in.
Okay, so I think that the way that some people are defending Andrew Tate today is a conflation of a couple of different ideas. So I think there is a big difference between having people on, have whoever you want on. That's totally fine. Free speech and all the rest. That's totally fine. And cheering on bad people who don't actually care about your principles. And Andrew Tate is the latter. Now, again, let me say right at the outset, I am not upset at all with anyone actually just interviewing Andrew Tate. Go for it. Have at it. There are tons of excellent questions to ask Andrew Tate, but none of these people are asking Andrew Tate any of those questions. Instead, a lot of people are sort of glomming onto his very online popularity in order to get clicks. And some people are dishonestly conflating interviewing Andrew Tate with cheering for Andrew Tate or applauding.
All right, this is the problem. Way too many hair splitting. Way too much hair splitting. Too many hair split. Ben Shapiro. I mean, the basic statement is correct. Anyone who wants to talk with Andrew Tate should talk with him. Well, fuck that. You shouldn't talk with him. It's a free country. I'm going to revise that. Real people with so many cheerleading and applauding a self-professed pornographer who opposed the most basic standards of virtue. You know how it goes. Oh, man. All right, here. Andrew paid my bills. This blew me away. Now, this is from Niall Berg, who's Iranian Jewish. I looked it up. I'm like, that's kind of an interesting name. And she does look what you think an Iranian Jewish woman would look like. You know, she's kind of like got more, obviously has some Persian genes. I don't know. Who knows how many filters that has on it. But this looks like a total Persian woman to me. What do you guys think? But Niall Berg says something. Anastasia, aren't you a doctor in Scandinavia? Now, this is Dr. Anastasia Maria Lupus, who is like part Viking, part something else. I don't know. She's kind of a strange one. She was making a lot of money on X with her 1.4 million account and apparently got demonetized. Aren't you a doctor in Scandinavia? Why on earth would you be reliant on Twitter to pay your bills? LOL. That is an interesting point. I was going to say odd. It's an interesting point. She's a doctor, and she's relying on Twitter to pay her bills. It's funny that even large accounts still call X Twitter. This is for people who think they know Andrew Tate, Cobra Tate. This is Dr. Anastasia Maria Lupus. When Elon Musk suddenly destroyed my million follower account and demonetized me, my friends did everything they could to recover it. But Andrew, he fucking paid my bills when suddenly I had my money stolen by X. Well, what you don't understand is X didn't steal your money. It's just kind of, if you're going to shitpost as someone on the dissident right, basically. She's shitposting as pro-white and anti-Semitic on any given day. Well, not so much pro-white as anti-Semitic. You might get burned. You might get the white nationalist treatment. The ideal, and if we know, I mean, still gray, Ian, Ian Miles Chong, Ching Chong, I was going to call him. I want it to be accurate. His account, we know that his million follower account makes $20,000 a month. Some speculate that Anastasia Maria Lupus was even higher, like $25,000 a month, which would be quite a hit. So that would definitely probably pay more than being a regular run-of-the-mill doctor in Scandinavia. So who knows how she's living. Denmark. Now, isn't she like half Danish and half whatever? Half whatever. Hold on here. She doesn't look Danish. She's like half Danish. Oh, okay. I do have her count up here. Ready. So what she is. Part Danish. Okay. Half Viking, half philosopher. I think she's like half Danish and half something from the Middle East? Because when you're saying half Danish, half philosopher, half Viking, half philosopher, that means she's half non-white to me. Tell me if I'm wrong. She's Norwegian and Greek. Okay. We got to revise that. We got to revise that then. She's in the Nick Fuentes camp for sure. No, I think her tweets are by and large right, pro-Gaza, anti-Semitic, that type of thing. I don't have a problem with her principles against Jewish supremacism. But if you're going to go down this particular road and not be a sellout, you got to understand you're going to get a white nationalist treatment. So I thought she was part non-white, so I didn't realize she was half Greek. I got to revise that then. I'm just going to follow her now. Now that I know she's like all European, I'm going to follow her. That makes her more interesting to me. She's making a lot of money. Her association with Andrew Tate is suspicious. I don't know. Profile pic is catfish. Should see a real recent photo of her. No, I think she's a real medical doctor of some kind. But, you know, socialized medicine, they don't pay doctors millions and millions of dollars, and doctors don't have to pay millions and millions of dollars in insurances. The Aryan invasion of India by Europeans. This is a fascinating read, and this is the type of thing Keith Woods does. This is what he brings to social media. This is what he can get away with without going to jail. His style isn't really to press anyone, even though he has disagreements with it. It's just to state his disagreements and to make his point. Because that's really all you can get away with. He's not American. I've always said, you guys are writing in, I've always said that he really doesn't have anything in common with Nick Fuentes. And apparently the relationship has blown up or entered some turbulence. But he put this deep dive up on X. And there are whole segments of our elite reading his deep dives. Because he charts this interesting course. Now, whether or not he's influencing any of them, I don't know. I don't think he's had many private conversations. He's just a young Irish nationalist who happens to be an ethno-nationalist. And many people understand the reason for that. They've seen the stuff going on out of Ireland. Or I should say many people, a rising number. And he does these type of deep dives, which are very good and helpful. I think generally helpful. His book is helpful. I don't think there's anything negative about it. But he basically praises Elon Musk whenever Elon Musk makes his 200 million follower account aware of any of our issues. And some people, you see, I don't really think I owe Elon Musk anything to praise him. But when someone wants to talk about white genocide, I don't really have a problem with who it is. Candace Owens, she can talk about white genocide in Congress, or whatever. Doesn't mean I owe her anything. Just means, you know, just because elites are making your point doesn't mean you should stop making your point. And Keith, I think, would agree with that. But he typically will praise the person making a point, which really, like, rages most white nationalism. Well, segments of White Nationalist Inc. And Groypers got really upset because Groypers got blasted off X. Nick had his particular whatever's going on, his checkmark taken away. And Nick was so upset that he said he thanked Elon Musk for making the world aware of the grooming scandal in the UK. Of course, it was a diversion from H-1Bs, sure. But Keith does that. That's kind of his style. I don't know what you could really get away with in Ireland. I think he's pressed the case on the ban the ADL, on the Jewish question. I think he's pressed the limit. myself, I was surprised he didn't end up in jail or end up arrested for something. But this is very good. This is what he does good, does very well. And you can argue the other things he should do better, but he's not an American. He's just not an American. He's not going to be able to get away with certain things. And he generally, if someone talks about an issue he likes, he thanks them for bringing their audience aware of it. That's kind of his style. His style has always been consistent down that line. Niall Berg tried to say Twitter post that it's not possible for white nationalists to read all the books of the Talmud. Oh, she doesn't know shit about white nationalists. She doesn't know shit about white nationalists. She obviously does not know shit about white nationalists. There are elements of the Babylonian Talmud that are not allowed out especially not allowed for a woman to read, my understanding is. But I'm not an expert. We'd have to ask Dr. Duke. But she's very wrong about white nationalists know word for word more about the Talmud probably than most Jews. Quote that. Quote that. The well-known caste system, the fourfold Varna system of Brahmin style, Varna translates to color. In the later Vedas, the higher caste identified with white, lower caste with black. Okay. It's kind of like nature's law type of thing. So anyways, he describes this war, which I don't understand. We're going to watch this. We're going to have Keith on here probably in a month or so. Nick Fuentes recently launched a salvo of attacks against Keith Woods for being disloyal. See, this is the problem. This is the problem with groups like the Groypers, the Donald Trump, and as well as Nick Fuentes. Any type of, you know, you're kind of on a straight and narrow path of loyalty. Do anything, and Keith is not really doing anything he hasn't always done, whether it be a deep dive on something, whether it be thanking this particular person, and it wouldn't matter whether whoever it was, some mainstream character, some large audience, tweets out something he likes, he'll thank him for it. That there's, you know, whatever. It's what he does. You might dislike it, but he's consistently doing this type of thing. But one of the challenges with Groyperism, Trumpism, and everything else is disloyal. You got to be loyal no matter what, at least in public. You can't deviate. He should have been going hard on Elon Musk, even when he got off the subject of H-1Bs and got on a subject of rape gangs. A little more palatable to Elon Musk because he has a political agenda in the UK. And Keith will talk about that, I think. You know, these are things Keith will talk about. But anyways, let's listen to this for a minute here, or a couple minutes. Let's see what Keith has to say, since he's going to war with Nick Fuentes. It was in a big brouhaha with Nick Fuentes. Not unpredictable, though. Hold on, let me get my head out of the way here. Not unpredictable because they have nothing in common, other than social media.
We're here for, but yeah, look, me and Nick Fuentes, former guest on the show, we had a bit of a falling out this week. No, I'm not gonna attack Nick on here. I'm not gonna turn this into a big blow up feud or something.
He's got the booty hat on.
I'm not gonna have a crispy Woodstown and become an analog. You know, there's a reason I supported Nick and the Groypers, and all those reasons are still the case. So you're not gonna see me crash out. I'll just give my perspective, because obviously otherwise we're just gonna constantly get questions and say we're Sam dodging this. So I'll just give you my perspective. He can give his perspective. It doesn't usually bother me at the end of the day what people think about it. But yeah, I did this post. Musk, you know, Musk reposted me a couple of times about the grooming gang scandal and the specifically like immigration related crime statistics. I did a post praising this, saying this was a big positive in terms of European nationalists spreading these talking points. I'll say, you know, I can understand. I mean, Nick obviously has suffered a lot the last few weeks. Guy did try to kill him. So, you know, I can understand he's a little bit touchy, and he holds Musk.
He's touchy. Oh, okay. So he's still firing shots. Nick is being touchy because someone tried to kill him. That's understandable. So at first he's kind of nice to Nick. He's being polite, but now Nick's kind of touchy. It's kind of funny.
Responsible for that. So look, maybe the wording was a little inconsiderate to praise Elon at that time. I understand that. I have my own reasons for trying to put that message out there in terms of encouraging people on the kind of center right to move towards some more nationalist talking points on this issue and try and make hay while we had this chance. So Dick disagreed with me, and he disagreed with me kind of politically about the value of something like Elon boosting this stuff, which he has been for the last couple of weeks, the rape gangs in the UK. Crime statistics generally, how this has been covered up for racial reasons, for anti-white reasons. And he doesn't think that's useful because it's to empower his own kind of fake center-right political parties. I disagree with that perspective. I think, you know, for one, reform being empowered over labor is probably going to benefit nationalists anyway, in terms of them repealing hate speech laws and other things that are designed specifically to oppress nationalists. But I also think we're not. I mean, I've made these arguments before. I don't think we're hamstrung by who takes up our arguments. You know, it's still moving people further to right. So he did some posts disagreeing on that. I disagreed back. And then he did a flurry of like six posts, kind of calling me out, saying that I have been disloyal the last week or two because I haven't talked enough about censorship and that this is me kind of saving my own ass to keep my check mark, and it makes me a bad friend. And I was disappointed with that, for one, because you know, he said I didn't tweet about Project Gripe getting banned. I did tweet about that, and then I went on an Adrian Dittman space that 300,000 people ended up listening to when I posted it on my page, and I argued with him for an hour specifically about Project Gripe. And that was one of the, that was the main criticism I got, was like, why did you keep this conversation focused on gropers instead of bringing it to the broader topics? But that's what I went on to argue. And so then he said, well, I didn't talk enough about the checkmark censorship, people like Myron Gaines and Jake Shields losing their checkmark. And I said, well, you know, I reposted Nick a couple of times on that issue. We talked about it on our show last week here. I did a post on it. I reposted, you know, Jake and Lupus on it. But yeah, of course, look, when Rotherham and when the grooming gangs came and became the big topic on X then, and millions of people are watching this, yeah, of course, I shifted my messaging more to that.
Now, Paul Towne and Keith Woods are different from a lot of roifers in so much that they're not incels and they have girlfriends and that type of thing. Just so you guys know that. Paul Towne always has a girlfriend, and generally Keith Woods does as well.
So, yeah, I was disappointed.
Although Paul Towne might have got rid of his recent girlfriend, I don't know. But
I was,
that is kind of different.
The fact that
they're not incels.
You know, isolated this 1 week and seemed to not consider the fact that, you know, really for 3-4 years I supported him and the Gripers, and I think been pretty loyal and always advocated for his Bannon, and, you know, had him on spaces when he was...
one little move against Fuentes, one little move, and he dropped the ban hammer on Keith and started fighting with him,
banned, and, you know, all the various ways I supported. So I thought it was really unfair to, you know, take a couple of weeks worth of Twitter activity and kind of assume the worst about my motivations based on that. And I was also disappointed he didn't just message me privately rather than, you know, go straight for attacking me publicly like that, attacking my character. So I messaged him, told him that we had a chat. Like I said, it's obviously a difficult time for him. A lot of things are happening. I can understand that, but, it's hard for me to, just justify in my own mind why he would, go and attack me publicly like that rather than discuss it. He disagrees. He thinks it was fair. It was something I was doing publicly. He thinks it's fair to attack me publicly. I disagree. I don't think I would have done the same if it was reversed. So that's kind of a fundamental disagreement we have. Don't know how that can be resolved. But like I said, I'm saying this because I just want to get it out of the way, address it. I don't want to have a big back and forth with him. Maybe he'll go nuclear on me on a show or whatever. That's fine. But ultimately, you know, it's going to be, if it's resolved, it's going to be resolved privately between myself and Nick. And, you know, this kind of public back and forth probably doesn't do much to help, which is why I was disappointed that he went straight for a kind of public attack. But yeah, I think...
I agree with Yorkin, man. I think it's more generational probably, but I've heard it's not. But I don't share their sense of humor, so I don't really get a lot of the jokes.
You know, I think it was just, from my perspective, I think it's just a little unfair to expect that level of, you know, keeping it focused on the growth for messaging as well. I mean, this is something that has been welcomed by European nationalists more broadly. I mean, a lot of people have faced censorship. Patriotic Alternative, Mark Collette, are banned, and I've always advocated for their unbanning. I have posts about that with millions of views. Jared Taylor and Kevin MacDonald have always advocated for those people. And if anyone could feel kind of left out right now, it would be Mark Collette, Patriotic Alternative, those people, the fact that they're totally banned off X, and this big discussion is happening that people like Mark were the only ones discussing for a while. But, you know, Mark said it's a huge positive that millions of people are seeing this right now. He's kind of taken down the stride. So I just, I think it was an unfair expectation, especially when I have tweeted about the check marks, I have reposted people, and, you know, they kind of assume the worst about me. And, you know, maybe there's a couple of things between us. Perhaps he has felt I was a little insensitive to him recently, so it made him more skeptical of my motives. But like I said, I'm just I think it's disappointing he kind of blew it up publicly the way he did. But like I said, if it's resolved, it'll be resolved privately. And you know, the good thing is, Paul Towne, it doesn't really affect this show at all, because you know, none of our audience are gropers, right?
That's true. And if they send us a lot more money, we'll give more information about it. Like, if they send maybe $1,000 donor, ask for the real information, we can provide that.
It's typical Paul Towne.
Yeah. So, look, that's my thoughts. Like I said, I hate even, I mean, my skin crawls, the idea of, like, talking about interpersonal stuff on a live stream. It's very cringe. So I'm probably not going to discuss it again. It's whatever. He can say whatever he wants. He can give his side of it. He can attack me if he wants, whatever.
My skin crawls a lot when I'm on the internet nowadays.
I have to address it for the half the chat that was here to hear about that. But yeah, agree or disagree? What would you do in this situation?
I agree some stuff. I disagree with some stuff. I think the fundamental... I think the fundamental difference in terms of you're European, we're Americans. So I think I think what Musk did, I think for Americans is a lot more, you know, personal because it's, you know, America. And then I think for you guys over in Europe, I think the grooming gangs are a lot more personal because it's in Europe. So I think for us, it's like, well, you know, the grooming gangs, obviously there are still grooming gangs, but the grooming gangs happened 10 years ago. In America, this is happening now. This is going to happen. So for Americans, it's like, well, I care about one thing. The other thing sucks, but it already happened. You know, the cover-up already happened. And then for Europeans, it's like, well, yeah, that sucks. Indians suck or whatever. Or we love Indians. But this is something where people were raped and nobody got any justice. So obviously I care about this. I think that's partially the not even disagreement, just a different perspective that causes some sort of – I don't think either one of you is more aware of it or –
Okay, we heard Keith's side of the story. That's all I wanted to hear. So basically, he's being amicable, other than saying Nick was being too touchy. That's kind of funny. I'm sure Mr. Fuentes would go off, I'm not being too touchy. I had attempts on my life, and you're not loyal to me. I mean, Keith is just doing what Keith does. I mean, he is European. Yeah, it's kind of an interesting point Paul Town made. The Europeans look at the grooming scandal as being a bigger deal than the H-1B scandal. Okay. That's kind of intriguing. I didn't look at it that way. I think they're both part of white genocide. L.A. County Inferno inspected the top $250 billion in losses. And yeah, personal stuff online is cringe. Keith is successful logos in the U.K. Paul is half Groiper Anon. Paul is not Anon. I mean, they're both kind of unique in so much that they're not incels and stuff like that. But I guess a lot of Groypers aren't. It's just not the ones that get attention. Fuentes might turn into Ethan Ralph. I don't know about that one. I don't know about that one, but there you go. Yeah. But we still have fire stuff in the news. $250 billion in losses. It's going to be a trillion. Yeah, that's just L.A. County. And this is a pretty wild little video clip. This is pretty wild. Look at them riding these motorcycles. It's insane. It's a hellscape. The music, too. It's the music. It's just the music. It's one of the better videos. Oh, Blitzkrieg again. I agree with you on that, Tim. If Anon is talking about white genocide and bring up awareness, then it's good. We don't own them at all. And we don't owe them anything at all. Yeah, if anyone brings up our point, it's good. It doesn't mean you stop. You're making your point. It doesn't mean whatever. But Keith is always saying thank you when they do that. He's always being nice, even in some instances maybe he shouldn't be. But I think it's more of it's a European thing. And he looks to get along with social media or find common ground because if he's in a space or if he's in some type of debate, that's one thing. But over on like a tweet-to-tweet basis, he's going to say thank you if someone brings up something, even if he disagrees with that person on 90% of the other shit. The music, though, guys. It's the music. Let's see here. SoCal faces fresh wildfire threats as LA area marks a week of blazes. So there's more of these coming. And they're doing deep dives on all the causes and everything else. It's California. We're waiting for it to fall into the ocean. And speaking of fires and falling into the ocean, police officers affiliated with AFD, and this is in Germany, faced dismissal under government decree, leaked memo reveals. German federal police officers who join or actively support the AfD, well, they're going to probably vote for them in private. Yeah, the end of democracy. The end of democracy happened a long time ago, Remix News. The end of democracy, vote to ban AfD, will happen before the German snap elections. I don't know if they're doing this to promote AfD because it's run by lesbians and stuff like that. You know, I don't know. So it just becomes a matter of... they did this. They banned, what did they ban? The NPD? They banned all, they banned any right-wing party that poses a threat. The idea that they're going to ban the AfD when the AfD is not even, I mean, it's like MAGA light even. It's not even MAGA. But this, of course, is what you have to put up with. Besides being banned for even being moderately, quote-unquote, centrist. Somali jailed for raping multiple elderly victims in their own homes while employed as a caregiver in Sweden, but won't be deported. Should face some type of capital punishment. Should face a death penalty, although death penalties are illegal in pretty much everywhere in Europe. They're not illegal in America. Should face some type of tribunal, some type of death penalty. Yeah, I mean, if you're employed as a caregiver and you commit a heinous act like murder one of them, torture one of them in a very provable way, or rape one of them, and obviously this is all very provable, it should be capital punishment. The ideal that a civilization allows their, like, grandmothers and grandfathers, or, well, they allow their children to be treated like this, it's a big problem within our civilization. And a fish rots from its head. Fish rots from its head. AfD is so disgusting. Alex Weidel married a Sri Lankan alien. Yeah. Yeah. She H-1B'd a wife, German style. This is something you could send around. Let's just say this. This is the Rebecca Mr. Gergen. This is the Norwegian girl. She's like a Norwegian right-wing version of a Republican, sort of. Although I don't know what she can get away with and be large and in charge. In the mainstream, but she does this document NO over there. One to watch for sure. But let's listen to this for a minute or a couple minutes.
For something outrageous, peak state Norwegian media. Here we go. The UK rape jihad gangs is a honeypot for the right wingers. That's what they said. Honeypot. The rape gangs are the right wing's honeypot. Yeah, it's said by this lovely lady, Nasin Khan Östrem. She says that the rape gangs in the UK are the right wing's honeypot. Don't mind the 250,000 estimated girls that had their soul ripped out of their body by being tortured by gangs of Pakistani men torturing them for months. Don't mind them. Don't mind the people who were group raping young British children anally, vaginally, orally, at the
Yikes.
Same time, branding them, torturing them for months. Don't mind them. This case is the right wing's honeypot, people. She also says that, you know, if you look at the broader picture, if you look at grooming as a whole, it's primarily white Englishmen who are behind grooming. I don't think this woman understands statistics, but let's put that aside for a minute. I have never seen such deflection in my entire life. Also, she says that this happened most in the Yorkshire area. She do realize that it's about 40 plus cities that this has happened in, right? There's victims all over the place, still going on.
Now, the significant point is if they keep up this over something as brutal, something as extensive, something as documented as the rape and torture gangs in the UK, if these idiots keep up their attack saying it's a It's a right-wing honeypot. If they keep up these attacks along those lines, that's actually a good thing because it's such a divergence from reality. You want the enemy operating in a state that isn't based on reality, and right now they don't really understand or have a handle on the rising number of people aware of what's going on, whites, and the amount of anger over this type of thing. They're underestimating a lot. Keep that in mind as we go forward here. This is pretty humorous. Let me turn off my camera again. Keep turning off my camera so you guys get a full view of some of these clips. This is pretty funny, though. This made me chuckle. This is you need to show this to your friends and family and say, this is why we don't want Indian immigrants, because they're going to be taken advantage of. The Indian invaders are going to be taken advantage of by blacks. I don't even know where this is at. You guys, we'll have to put it together in the comments. This is from a Garmin. What's this? Never heard of a Garmin camera. Thought they were just, thought they were actually street finders. Was it South America? If this is Canada, is this Canada or something?
Nothing. Check. Take everything.
Salam. You Muslim?
Yeah.
Say you Salam.
Then he shakes his hand for being a Muslim? Where is this at? Where did this happen? It's crazy. Carjacking? I just want to know where it happened. I give everything SAR. Ah, poor Indians. Poor Indians. Makes the heart bleed, doesn't it? Makes the heart bleed. Now let's cruise through some more links. We're going to head into some war porn. We have the Chinese are building these massive... I'm going to have to look and see if there's another picture of them. These massive... I don't even know what to call them. Look like tankers. They're going to be used as bridges. Now, I thought the invasion of Taiwan was going to be high tech, but that's kind of one of my shit tests. Is it high tech or is it some low tech ordeal where they're just sending in waves of Chinese? Because if so, it's going to be brutal. Absolutely brutal. Guys, I'm going to take a break for a couple minutes, grab some more water. We've got a couple more groups of links to go. So enjoy some, what are we going to do for intermission? We got to do Hyra. Maybe to get a new Hyra song for intermission. Do you guys have any suggestions? Let me know. Any type of songs you want for intermission, let me know. Pro-whitish. You think that was South Africa? Could be. There's so many Indians. There's a lot of Indians in South Africa, that's for sure. But anyways, guys, I'll be back in a couple minutes here. Enjoy some Hyra and enjoy the intermission. And then we're going to hit some MAGA stuff. And we've got some... stuff coming out on Patriot Front. We've got big news on quote-unquote so-called terrorist attacks in America and done by white supremacists. And so stay tuned here. Okay, we are back. We are back, and we got the spotlight is on. El Donald Trumpo is going to be inaugurated in 5 days, right? What day is that? What day is this inauguration going to happen on? Of course, it's going to happen on a Monday. Intriguing that it's happening. The inauguration of Donald Trump is going to happen on MLK Day. And that is the day I have on Warren Baylog. I have on Warren next Monday at 5:30 p.m. And we'll probably do a good 2.5-3 hours. And we're going to do a James Earl Ray Day special. And he's going to give me all kinds of information, and you as well, on James Earl Ray that we didn't already know. So you want to tune in for the infamous Warren Baylog or Captain Ahab. John Gage is on the 27th. Okay. All right, so we got some stuff going on here. I'm going to try to book iHypocrite. You guys have any guest ideas, let me know. Hold on here. What did I tag here? Oh, this is kind of interesting. Speaking of before I move on to MAGA, and what they're doing is talking about demons, MAGA's demon-haunted world. And it's not a bad article talking about all the shenanigans. Peter Thiel. And all the different conspiracies, sort of. The second lesson is no matter how smart a person might be in their business dealings, humans are all prone to the same lizard brain preference for narratives over facts. It's true. Especially if you have dishonest media, you've got a lot of narrative hunters trying to run some kind of racket. It's true. It's true. German opposition leader adapts Trump MAGA-style slogan. Alice Weidel, co-chair of Alternative for Germany Party, is calling Make Europe Great Again. Oh, God. No! No! In Greenland, a cold shoulder for Trump, a curiosity about U.S. ties. Yeah, I don't think Trump's going to be able to do anything with Greenland, but they are concerned with the Chinese and the Russians exploiting the natural resources. I know nothing about Greenland or this Eskimo culture that dominates it. We have to prepare for when Trump supporters become disillusioned with Trump. We have to be ready to bring them to our side. We're never going to get this chance again. Oh, they're going to be angry. They're going to get pissed off and angry. Oh, Percentage will. Percentage never will. Percentage will just cope. Of course, this is a sign of the times. Fake deportation plane tickets put through post office, post boxes of migrant families. Fake deportation plane tickets. This is probably some type of huge offense in Germany. They could send you to jail for like 20 years or something. These are plane tickets with the AfD party logo on them, and they're putting them in mailboxes of migrant families. And they're plane tickets like you're going back home. You're going back home. It's pretty funny, actually. They're doing something similar in America, putting out videos like this. New Tom Holman illegal alien clip dropped today. This is pretty funny. It shows all blacks, though. How I'd be cleaning up the country if I was president.
Go down there to the man. Yeah, yeah.
It's only that's the first Mexican right there. First South American looking dude.
Hey, if y'all want to be, it's a beautiful day.
That's pretty funny though. If only, right? They're not gonna do nothing like that's gonna happen. Something like this will happen though. Rahm Emanuel and DeWine met to discuss Ohio Senate appointment. He's going to be appointed to Ohio Senate? Oh, my goodness. Now, he has... Oh, man. This guy right here, this like Jewish guy that was running some Manosphere scam, and he's like some cucked weirdo. All right. But Rahm Emanuel and DeWine met to discuss Ohio Senate appointment. Oh, my God. All right. 2 months after taking himself out of running for Ohio Senate seat, Rahm Emanuel is under consideration for the post, according to two people familiar. Governor Mike DeWine, who was asked with appointing someone to the job recently vacated by Vice President-elect J.D. Vance, met the governor's mansion over the weekend to discuss the post. The timing of Rahm Emanuel's decision to seek higher office has sparked speculation in GOP circles that he's looking for a lifeline after his contentious comments. Yeah, he took some heat. He took some heat. Took some heat for the H-1B shit. So he's doing some type of slippery shit to become a senator. They don't call him Ramaskammy for nothing. Yeah, who's the guy next to him? Does that bald guy with the beard look familiar? Do you guys remember who I'm talking about? Looks like something familiar. Some other familiar scammer. Maybe his policy advisor. Fortress DC, Trump's inauguration braces for the worst with troops, drones, and fences. Wow. There's going to be a lot of protesters and counter-protesters? Say it isn't so. Jack Murphy. Yes. It looked like Jack Murphy, didn't it? That looked like Jack Murphy? Is Jack Murphy advising? Hold on. We got to look this up. Jack Murphy and Rama. I can't say Scammy. I got to say Ramaswamy. I don't know if I pronounced it right. I don't see anything about it. Are they both in Doge? Was Jack... Oh, my God. Hold on here. Jack Murphy is in Doge. It's Department of Government Efficiency. Oh, my God. How did he get in there? These guys are all weaseling themselves into this shit. Besides the fact that he's Jewish, I guess. I'm trying to see. It says something about him in some part of the article. Okay. Vance, too, has raised the possibility of doing away with the federal bureaucracy. In the 2021 interview with right-wing podcaster Jack Murphy, Vance said Trump should set fire to every single medieval bureaucrat. Okay. All right. So I don't know if that was Jack Murphy, but it did look like him for sure. Man arrested and charged with attempting to use a weapon of mass destruction. Whoa. And to destroy an energy facility in Nashville. This was in the news again. Now, this happened on November 4th, but this is up again. They're drum beating this shit with Trump coming into office. Philippi participated in a Nordic ritual, which included reciting Nordic prayer and discussing the Norse god Odin. All right. Skylar Philippi of Columbia, Tennessee, was arrested by federal agents and charged with attempting to use a weapon of mass destruction. Look out. He was going to launch an attack on a Nashville energy facility. All right. The fuel is violent white supremacist ideology. Well, he'll be going to jail for a long time. I have a feeling, well, we know, that this was some type of FBI shenanigans again. FBI shenanigans all over this one. But they're bringing this up today, of course, in front of the inauguration. HVAC worker reportedly finds explosives at Southside High Rise. This is in Chicago. CPD says, the Chicago Police Department says, materials pose no threat. Found a rifle and fake IDs in the unit. Well, we ultimately don't know what's in the country. Came across C4 explosives. They were fake. It's kind of odd. But, you know, we have to be on the lookout. And we're going to get back to this in a minute because we have more. Well, you know what? Let's jump ahead. Let's jump ahead and talk about these two. Humvees, and then we'll talk about Patriot Front's lawsuit. Humvees and other equipment stolen from the Army Reserve Center amid California wildfires. So, basically, the Army Reserve is missing Humvees and a lot of equipment. And we have who knows what in this country. Be a good way to, let's say you brought a small army in this country and you use a natural disaster to raid a National Guard center, Army Reserve center. Well, why not? I mean, you've got all kinds of armories all over America, if you know where they're at. You know, U.S. Border Patrol reportedly captures Russian mercenary carrying a drone, two passports, and $4,000 U.S. He's someone from Kazakhstan, reportedly told investigators he was a member of the Wagner Group. U.S. Border Patrol busted him. You think he'd be smart enough not to get busted by U.S. Border Patrol? I wonder if he's trying to cut a deal and migrate or trying to become some type of U.S. asset or something, which is something our government's so dumb it might fall for. You got some guy pretending to be part of the Wagner group. He comes across, stumbles across the border and lets you catch him and pretends to be some big deal or something. Trying to figure out the angle on this one, this is pretty odd because if you had that together, how would you get caught at the U.S. border? I mean, he doesn't even look. And he looks more Russian than he does Kazakhstani. Ryan, GGG. You know that guy selling you the Humvee was, the price was too good to be true. Yeah. Humvees for all my listeners. Compliment of the U.S. government. U.S. Border Patrol reportedly captures Russian mercenary carrying a drone, two passports, and $4,000. He entered a guilty plea of knowing and unlawfully entering the U.S. at a place. They probably let him go, though. Who knows what they're sending across the border? Because you can pretty much send anything across the border and get away with it. Now, speaking of getting away with it, and speaking of we don't know what's in this country, I don't know what's going to happen in inauguration. Some people are saying there could be attempted terrorist attacks. I have no idea. No idea. No idea what's going to happen. It's Trump. There's still elites that hate Trump, and you never know what's going to happen. But this is a serious ordeal because this always happens every single time. Patriot Front was fined $2.7 million for this interaction today. This is lawfare. This is wrong. Please share this with everyone. Now, what happened is they touched a black guy or something. We're going to watch this. And they got hit with a lawsuit for $2.7 million. Of course, they don't like have bank accounts and stuff like that. Thomas Rousseau doesn't have a bank account, doesn't have anything anyone can really get. So it's kind of unique, kind of set up set up to be an optimal organization to organize in America. Okay, this black guy is filming him.
Don't fucking talk to me like that, you fucking racist piece of shit.
Take it easy. Take it easy.
Get the fuck.
Hey, move. Hey, move.
Take it easy. Don't worry, the punch. Don't fucking tell me. Take it easy. Take it easy. Take it easy.
They're using their shields to basically make sure he can't attack them. He's clearly not getting out of the way, and they're clearly using their shields defensively. Hold on, let me make sure we can see this whole thing. Do it justice. He's basically grabbing their shields, fighting with them. I can't believe someone gave him $2.7 million. This is actually one of the worst case scenarios because they're not even fighting him. They're trying to move around him, trying to get out of his way. He keeps filming them. And then they use their shields to make sure he can't grab and attack them or whatever. The interview the next day, he had a spear.
They killed another man.
That's one of the worst examples we've seen. of lawfare. Yeah. I mean, the idea that that would garner $2.7 million, it's kind of wild. Not unpredictable, though. Not unpredictable. If you're involved in any type of street action, you so much look the wrong way or someone touches you, it ends up being this type of event. And so, they're just using their shields as a defensive weapon, but of course, you know, that's where things, the judge went crazy on them and so on and so forth. Now, what can they get? They don't have anything. And they'll appeal it. They'll have lawyers appeal it. There's lawyers interested in the appeal as well, but it's just another case of lawfare. It's another case of why it's so challenging to organize, because even if you have a successful group, it just means you become a target. You become a target. Now, the same person involved in Charlottesville was involved in suing this lawsuit. Notice how none of the news sites use the actual video of the incident to show the miscarriage of justice. Yeah, they're using some wild picture.
Before we go to break, we have some breaking news for you. A federal judge has ordered the white nationalist group called Patriot Front to pay
Look at the film they're using. Look at the photo they're using.
$7 million in damages to a black musician they attacked. We covered the story when it happened in Boston back in 2022. The judge is also ordering them to pay the musician's attorney's fees. That cost still has yet.
Good luck with that. Maybe next time. Where was the black when they were burning and looting and murdering? Well, he was probably doing that too. Hold on here. Can I play this?
Tonight, a musician is speaking out after a judge ordered a white nationalist group to pay him more than $2.5 million. Now, this is a photograph from 2022 when Charles Morrell says that he was attacked by members of Patriot Front in Boston.
Yeah, a SoundCloud rapper is not a musician, facts.
No criminal charges were ever filed. However, the Suffolk County DA's office tells us that case remains open.
Morrell sued the group in 2023, leading to today's ruling, and our Sean Chiabot spoke with him tonight.
I want to use the word relieved.
Charles Morrell III has waited for justice since this moment in 2022. The image of white nationalists attacking and pushing him against a pole in Boston making national news. A judge now awarding him $2.7 million in a civil case against the Patriot Front.
Did you fear for your life in that moment?
As I said during the testimony, you know, that was one of the biggest realizations.
If he was afraid, he'd be running, because when blacks are afraid, they run. Why wasn't he running? Why was he fighting them?
Death being something that, you know, they were capable of.
A local artist and a descendant of slaves, Morrell was homeless at the time and remains homeless now. Even so, he agreed to relive that painful memory in testimony to fight for a higher purpose.
My grandparents talked about their parents being hunted by the Ku Klux Klan.
Oh, God.
That just, again, was just the clarity of why I had to do this small thing. In this time,
so brave.
Or in this climate.
No criminal charges were filed in the attack, but Morrell's attorneys say the win sends a clear message that such behavior is not tolerated in the United States, and say the win sends a clear...
He's got on fake contacts here. Look at these fake contacts.
Say the win sends a clear message that such behavior is not tolerated in the United States, and that those who engage in such un-American conduct will be held accountable. WCVB attempted to reach out to the Patriot Front, but they did not respond.
I still don't see them as, you know, horrible people, maybe misguided, misled, or misinformed.
Not looking back, instead he looks to the future.
What is my purpose? It could be the brush with death. It could be...
What a scam. Will he get any money? There's no money to get. No property to get. So it's kind of like an impossible type of thing. You know, oil tanker sabotage crew were poised to cut more cables when caught. We've got massive sabotage, potentially could happen any given time. Remember the famous cable cutting across Europe? That oil tanker sabotage crew were poised to cut more cables. So we got black shysters, which is nothing new, but we've got big acts of sabotage, and you never know what could happen during the inauguration. The Patriot Front, I'll keep you abreast of it, but I mean, they're perfectly geared for this type of thing, meaning that even if you get a judgment, what can you do? It's not criminal, it's just civil. And you're not really going to do anything about it. You're not going to be able to get any... I mean, you really can't show up at Thomas Rousseau's door and shake him down for something he doesn't have. He doesn't even have a bank account. Head of the ADL, Jonathan Greenblatt, suggests using pager-style bombing attacks against U.S. citizens for anti-Semitism. I played this before, but people are talking about this again because we're coming into Project Esther.
To start doing...
Well, let me turn this up.
Things differently. And the same goes here in Israel. This means that the problem won't be solved by yet another new Knesset task force. It won't be solved by the government just throwing money at the problem. It won't be solved by the IDF spokesperson's unit issuing updated talking points or suddenly using TikTok. Like us in America, you need to adopt new strategies, to experiment with creative tactics, to study the results and scale what works. Maybe it's a whole new idea,
if you
call it 8300, to lead this fight. But we need the kind of genius that manufactured Apollo gold pagers and infiltrated Hezbollah for over a decade to prepare for this battle. We need the kind of courage that executed Operation Deep Layer inside Syria and destroyed Iranian missile manufacturing capabilities to undertake this mission.
He's talking Project Esther. And speaking of Project Esther, we're going to have on Warren Balog next Monday. Big special on Dreams Are Award Day. Warren and Emily discuss the Heritage Foundation's Project Esther and how it designates. I'm going to play this clip, too. I'll leave the camera off for it so it does the Modern Politics justice. And you guys should subscribe to Modern Politics. It's a great way to support the Warren Balog family. The Balog family, as we will call it. Here's Emily and him talking about basically Project Esther. And you guys should watch the deep dive on it. But here's a three-minute overview since he's coming on next Monday.
October 7th, 2024, they released this.
It's good.
Project Esther, a national strategy to combat anti-Semitism. And this is the policy prescription that is going to be implemented in the new Trump Justice Department now under these neocons.
The name is a dead giveaway, Project Esther. Of course, that's in reference to the Bible story. Yeah. They actually reference the Bible story and they go over the Bible story, including the quote, "So many Hamans and only one Purim." Yeah. We are all Haman. I mean, they've had, you know, Hitler is Haman, Hamas is Haman. Now the American citizens are Haman,
yeah.
AKA the enemy of the Jews that they need to do mass slaughter to. So, you know, if the Jews weren't masked off before, they really are now invoking this like ancient desert Bible story, Jewish hoopla bullshit.
Project Esther uses this term Hamas Support Network, HSN.
So who is that? So basically,
it's everybody.
Anybody that criticizes Israel.
Bingo.
On both the left and the right, we're all lumped into this terrorist organization now.
Yes.
So, you know, that's us, obviously. That's anyone who's talking about Jewish power.
It's anyone who's listening to this program and agreeing with it. It's anyone who has the thought that Jews have too much power in the United States, by their definition, could be lumped in to this Hamas support network. So that's the trick that they use.
Because even independent actors now are now lumped into an organization.
Right.
So you can even say probably, well, I don't necessarily support Hamas, but I am critical of Israel. They're still going to say that you're part of this.
You're part of this Hamas support network. Yeah. We define the Hamas support network inside America as the people and organizations that are both directly and indirectly involved in furthering Hamas's cause in contravention of American values and to the detriment of American citizens and America's national security interests. So Jews inside America, just like in the Book of Esther, just like with the Persians, they can use the American government to designate their enemies, not our enemies,
their enemies
as terrorist organizations. Again, what they are talking about here specifically is First Amendment protected activity that does not violate U.S. law.
Right. If this isn't ringing alarm bells now for anyone who cares about free speech, and then like indirectly. So, yeah, anyone just making a show or holding like an anti-Israel protest are aiding Hamas now. So everyone is lumped together in an organization, and any act that's critical of Israel is considered now an act of terrorism, essentially.
It's the way they want it. It's the way they want it. Anyone that criticizes Israel is an act of terrorism. We'll have on Warren next Monday, if all goes well. James Earl Ray Day. It should be a fascinating day. Most of the U.S. is closed down for ML King Day, which was a joke. One of the more funny stories Whitaker used to tell was about how they would always, the congressman he was working for, he was the chief of staff for, it was an Ohio congressman, was one of the ones that would filibuster and make sure that the MLK Day never passed. They also got heart attacked, and he died of a heart attack mysteriously. Whitaker speculated, and Whitaker's no conspiracy theories, and that they employed some kind of heart attack weapon against him or something. But he was like always against the MLK being a holiday, and it held it off for years and years with filibusters, which is kind of funny. Yeah. Yeah, I don't know. I mean, they're speculating over what exactly they're willing to do with Project Esther. I think they're going to go RICO and lawsuits, which is kind of par for the course. And then they're talking about going with actually trying to use pagers and, like, hurt white supremacists. Well, maim, murder people. It's something they would do if they get away with it. Under the right conditions, under some like warlike conditions, it would have to be something that would suspend all U.S. law, but who knows? They would definitely try to do it if they could control the narrative. Make sure word doesn't get out. Yeah, they could quite capable of doing anything, is what it push comes to shove to. The whole entire story of Esther is kind of a wake-up call itself, as the chat is pointing out. This is pretty funny. Jake Shields, people, he's rustling jimmies over this one. This is this picture of rescued Israeli hostage Noah Argamani with Post Malone. Post Malone looks like a serious drug addict. He looks like some kind of meth head out on the street you see, you know, stumbling around. And so this rescued Israeli hostage is out with Post Malone. Jake Shields writes, this is funny. Her boyfriend is still a hostage while she's out getting smashed by rock stars and DJs. Well, that's what's happening. That's what's happening. They don't care about the nations or laws. I'm not saying that. They do care about optics. They do care about optics in America. Around Israel, they say fuck it. But in America, the Jewish community does care about their own optics. So they're going to have to be careful on how they do things. As far as violence goes, lawfare, no. No, as far as violence, maiming people, you start going down that particular road against, you got posse comitatus, you got different things, which of course, ask the Branch Davidians. But as far as like trying to drone conservatives they don't like or trying to do that type of thing, not yet, not yet. Yes. You guys correcting his language? DJs, not DJs. There you go, Lex V. Yeah, Jews love promoting whites that are completely degenerate. It's funny. Yeah. She's hanging out with Post Malone. Her boyfriend is still hostage. She's out getting smashed by rock stars and DJs. That's funny. And, of course, you know, everything's going to be Jew 24/7. It's going to be Jew. Where's my sound effects at? Hold on here. Hold on. Let me roll them out. Hold on here. Where's my...
Jews. Jew.
Yeah, it's always the Jews, right? And I'm going to say that. It is always the Jews. It is.
Right. And so this is from the Tim Pool show. And this is funny. This is 44 seconds. This is funny because this is what's going to be for the next 2,000 years. It's going to be nonstop, Jew. So just get used to it. If you think white nationalist memes are like a tidal wave now online, wait till it just really starts folding into reality. And not at the 10% level or the 20, 30% level, but like at the 40 and 50% level. It's just going to be crazy. But this is funny. This is Tim Pool's show, and Tim Pool does not want any talk about this type of thing. The Timcast. This is a funny clip, though.
Dude, I'm concerned with having American aircraft carriers over there. Like, what, I keep being told about the USS Liberty. That's something with the Israeli government.
Yeah, he yes. should.
No.
Wait. You should be careful about that.
Allegedly, the Israeli Air Force jet fighter aircraft.
I mean, they did end up paying out the American government.
So I'm concerned, like, false flag operation, like a missile comes out of Gaza.
Oh, no, it definitely.
They paid out the American government?
It's one of our aircraft carriers, but it was actually an Israeli missile. Well, I don't want... we should get out of there.
It doesn't... Yeah. But let me stop you there. It doesn't matter where the missile comes from.
It does if it's an ally.
Weird, huh? Holy shit.
Dude, I'm concerned with having American aircraft carriers
this
over there.
This is funny,
like,
though.
I keep being told about the USS Liberty. That's something with the Israeli government.
Yeah, no, you yes. should...
No. Wait.
You should be careful about that.
allegedly, the Israeli Air Force jet fighter aircraft...
I mean, they did end up paying out the American government.
So I'm concerned, like, false flag operation, like a missile comes out of Gaza hits one of our aircraft carriers, but it was actually an Israeli missile. Well, I don't want... we should get out of there.
It doesn't... Yeah. But let me stop you there. It doesn't matter where the missile comes from.
That's f***ing weird, huh? Holy sh**.
Dude, I'm concerned with having American aircraft carriers over there. Like, what...
I could play this about... I could play this a few times, though. I could play this a few times. It's kind of funny. Yeah, live updates. Israel Hamas ceasefire in Gaza is confirmed by the U.S. and Qatar. Uh-oh. So we got a ceasefire for now. But the big deal isn't going to be Gaza as far as the war goes. The big deal is going to be... the big deal is actually going to be against Iran. Big deal is going to be against Iran. Russia and Iran to sign partnership treaty this week. And this, of course, I wonder if the... Well, we know the Hamas deal was kind of like probably a veneer for the inauguration. It's not going to stop the Israelis from doing anything because nothing ever does that. They just want to look good for Donald Trump inauguration. This is the big news. The Russian-Iran partnership just got bigger. We'll have to see if they follow through on any of that. But it's pretty funny. Russia and Iran to sign bigger partnership. Putin signs a similar agreement with North Korea leader Kim Jong-un. We'll have to see how expansive it is and if they follow what they follow through on. But this is kind of the big news out of the Middle East, you know? This is the big news. The big news out of the Middle East, Russia and Iran to sign partnership. So the Hamas thing, it's an inauguration ordeal. That's it. But Ben Shapiro, these guys, this goes back to October 19th, 2024. Israel has a short time frame to secure its future because of dwindling support from the left and right in the United States. He's right there. Let's listen here for a minute.
Do you think Israel is in a race against time, in a race to secure its geostrategic position before the U.S. becomes beholden to the left and its anti-Israel bias?
Yes. So the question is to whether Israel has got a short time frame in order to ensure its own security for the future as the left gains in power. The answer is obviously yes. I mean, you've seen the slow walking of the aid from the Biden administration, despite congressional approval of that same aid. And then
they got a limited amount of time. That means Iran's on the table. But you know, Trump, he's not going to be able to do anything with Iran. I don't think. He's going to pivot toward China. But Iran was where the big showdown. Iran's where the big money goes. Whenever Iran happens, Iran still hasn't responded like they said they were going to for that last incursion or that last infraction they said they were going to respond to. Iran still hasn't responded. Might Iran respond on Inauguration Day? Anything's possible. Anything's possible on Inauguration Day. Iran is held out on responding, and they can respond. We'll have to see exactly what Trump plans on doing. Wars top global risk as Davos elite gathers in the shadow of a fragmented world. So we got the Davos elite. So the twilight of the gods, not really any news there. They're worried about war breaking out. Well, the world's been on the edge of war forever. At least parts of the world, like the Middle East. SEC sues Elon Musk, alleging failure to properly disclose Twitter ownership. I don't see that going anywhere. Not with Trump in office. TikTok dismisses report of Elon Musk's sale as pure fiction. It would be funny if Elon Musk bought TikTok. Then TikTok would be good again. Make TikTok great again. Yeah. They weren't really worried about Chinese ownership of TikTok until TikTok went a little bit TikTok allowed its users to criticize Israel during the Palestinian escapade. The genocide of the Palestinians. And then, of course, TikTok had to be sanctioned. There's some economic news coming out. Even Harvard MBAs are struggling to land jobs. As Wall Street Journal, latest crop of elite business school graduates are taking months to find new jobs. That is a bad litmus test for America if Harvard MBAs have to take months to find a decent job. Usually they have 3 job offers by the time they graduate from internships and whatnot. But it's taking them months to find jobs. That's a bad litmus test. But maybe people are just realizing Harvard MBAs are overrated. That could be a cope. There's always someone willing to hire someone from Harvard. That's pretty wild, though. What if the Fed U-turns and raises rates this year? Yikes. I think Trump would be fighting mad. The bond market rallied for the first time in weeks off the economic news today. And the economic news was this. Consumer prices soared over 21% under Biden. Real wages fell. So the news wasn't good and bonds rallied because it's like, well, okay, they're not going to raise rates or do anything crazy because the market's already done it for them. So there's some kind of weird bond logic in the rally today. But nonetheless, we were on some kind of like demon slide across the planet with the global bond markets. And now there's been a day of reprieve over the bad economic numbers. It's just kind of funny and sad at the same time. But there's more talk about the job market really going sour and what's going on. After graduating from a good university with a good GPA, I couldn't find decent employment. So I took a job as a church janitor and earned the minimum wage. The unemployment rate in my city was 16%. I moved halfway across the country for better job prospects and ended up working with 2 minimum wage jobs and living in a socialist co-op housing. At one point, I rented a room that wasn't actually a closet so that I could save money. I never ate out, owned almost nothing, and saved almost all my meager wages. My bank account grew. It wasn't until my late 20s that I had a decent-paying job. I bought my first car. It cost $25. When it failed, I replaced it with a $50 car. My clothing was secondhand. My furniture was from yard sales. But within 4 years, I could afford a home because I'd saved my money so relentlessly that I had enough money for a down payment. This is my response to all those whiny Zoomers complaining today about how horrible the economy is. Well, you could buy a house with a very low down payment. Inflation wasn't nearly as bad. You could buy a car for $50. Yeah, a little bit different times. Yeah, it's like boomers. The same reason their IRAs are through the roof is the same reason Zoomers can't get ahead, even if they have MBAs from Harvard. It's because of inflation. It's very tough. It's very tough stuff. You know, it's kind of funny. Yeah. This guy is very out of touch with what's going on. It's like back in my boomer years, and you know, I had minimum wage jobs and I saved up and bought a brand new car or bought a used car for $50 or. Yeah, a little bit different times. You won't even qualify for a mortgage on the average home in Canada without anything less than $100,000 a year. That's just ridiculous. It's absurd. Yeah, this is an overtweet for Christopher Rufo. After college, I took a job as security guard for $11 an hour so I could work on creative projects. On and on it goes. Inflation really is to boomers what per capita is to blacks. Yeah, David Zutty's chiming in on that. He's right about that. He's 1,000% right about that. That's funny stuff. My master's degree did zero for my career. All right. That's funny. Absolutely funny stuff. And it's tragic. It's so tragic, it's funny that they're this out of touch with inflation. The problem is that the kids are doing all the things he did, and they still can't buy. They still can't get ahead. He could at least get ahead because the times were different. Inflation was different. And wages have not kept up with inflation. That is the big difference, of course. That's the point I'm making. Putin plotting terror attacks against airlines and global wave of sabotage, warns Polish Prime Minister Tusk. Holy shit. We'd have to see this to believe it. Putin's going to cause global apocalypse. See it to believe it. Russian missile attack forces Ukraine to shut down power grid. It's nothing new. This has happened before. Yeah. Chinese drone firm DJI eliminates automatic no-fly zones 1 week before Trump's inauguration. Wow. I'm going to read that again. That's quite a headline. Chinese drone firm eliminates DJI. That's the firm name. Eliminates automatic no-fly zones 1 week before Trump's inauguration. Yeah, no more automatic no-fly zone. DJI puts drone safety on you. Uh-oh. The world's largest drone manufacturer, DJI, has removed U.S. geofencing. These drones can now fly over U.S. military bases, other no-fly zones. I don't know what all this means. There could be some propaganda in this. No more automatic no-fly zones. DJI puts drone safety on you. That means there's no type of geofencing. Geofencing is when it's fenced off from locations. You can't fly these drones over locations that the U.S. government requests. And there must be a reason they're doing this. It might be in a fight with the U.S. government. In a pivotal shift for drone operations, DJI, the world's largest civilian drone manufacturer, has scrapped its proprietary geofencing system in favor of official Federal Aviation Administration data across the United States. The update, effective January 13, 2025, 2 days ago, changes the way drone operators navigate controlled airspace, placing full responsibility for flight safety and potential violations squarely on their shoulder. What could go wrong with this? China's DJI no longer blocks flights over airports and military bases. Somewhat misleading. They're going with the FAA rule, and they're going to allow the government to do it. But at the same time, I have a feeling there's probably ways around this if someone wanted to get around this. China is going to take control of all the drones on Inauguration Day and attack. Well, there's all those drone episodes. Is this linked to those drone episodes? I don't think so. It's linked to fighting with the U.S. government. The replacement of DJI's proprietary system with FAA data makes a new era for drone operations in the U.S., where the onus of responsibility for compliance and safety now rests heavily on the shoulders of drone pilots. At the same time, it's worth pointing out that since introducing geosystems in 2013, DJI has pioneered several safety features to promote responsible drone usage. Yeah, everyone's worried about those back doors and the Chinese shutting things off and on or taking control of things at whims. It's the ultimate. Well, a lot of these smart devices are ultimate spy devices, right? So why wouldn't a drone, why wouldn't you be able to take control of a drone or do something shady? Philippines alarmed after China sends monster ship to dispute its shoal. And that is a big ship. It looks like a cruise ship with a helicopter carrier on the back. So the Chinese and the Philippines are escalating. I've speculated that the neocons might use the Philippines to start some big brouhaha with China. Now that the Middle East is dying down for a minute, and bring in some type of China-Taiwan scenario to the forefront. China constructing D-Day style barges for Taiwan invasion. I want to try to get a picture of this. I couldn't get a big picture of what these are going to look like. But that means that they're going to use men to invade and not swarms. Hmm. That means they're going to use men to invade, not swarms. I should state it three times, because that would be a big deal to me, simply because we're always told how advanced they are technologically with drones, and they were going to use drone swarms and all kinds of high-tech different features to invade Taiwan. If they got invaded using D-Day-style barges, it could be a friggin' disaster. It's kind of like there's some type of Orwellian situation. Well, it'd be very Orwellian, where there's like these backdoor deals on rules of engagement during this World War III over multiple different acts. Some type of bullshit deal going on behind the scenes. Like, okay, we're not going to do anything high tech. We're going to do low tech so we can get rid of a lot of people. We're thin the herds, so on and so forth. So I wonder if the Chinese won't go into something like this or be forced into something like this. You know, there's a globalist side and a nationalist side. I would think they would just use all kinds of high-tech stuff and overwhelm it. And they might do that, but they're going to send in barges full of guys. That must be after they do the drone swarms and high-tech shit. I'd have to see this to believe it, because this could be a disaster. If they do some type of low-tech Russian invasion. Remember, the Russian invasion of Ukraine went sideways. The U.S. was very ready for it, and it went completely and totally sideways. And this could be the same way. It could be an absolute bloody grind. Taiwan can't mass-produce drones for swarming China back. Well, definitely they can. Who knows? Who knows? This is the point I've always made. Who knows what the CIA has sold the Taiwanese? Who knows what the Taiwanese have? They can make semiconductors. So obviously they can make basic missiles. And obviously they might even have nuclear-tipped cruise missiles to fire into China. China is very close to Taiwan, but that means Taiwan's very close to China. And China is pretty much considered a slave pen between two giant rivers, and it's trying to break out across the South China Sea. But again, Taiwan is actually blocking that in many ways. And they've got to do something about it sooner or later. If they're smart, they'll hold this off forever. U.S. Navy is usually stationed out while in Taiwan, too. Yeah, this could be pretty wild. Especially if it's like, if this is like the invasion of Ukraine, where you're like, why didn't it go high tech? Why are they doing all this low tech shit? And it just went sideways. It could be a total fratricidal bloodbath in Asia. One to watch for sure. If they're going to invade it using the conventional forces, I'm saying before they go all high tech. This could be pretty wild. Maybe the craziest thing we've ever seen. It'll be hard to get information. Information will be tightly controlled. You remember during the Taiwan episode, Paul Joseph Watson is over there and stuff like that? You guys remember that? I don't know. Taiwanese and Chinese also interesting in fighting their Tongbo compatriots. This is just media hype for the Goyim in the West. I don't know. They go at it. There's a nationalist side and there's a globalist side. And these two sides go at it. The Chinese, in the rape of Nanking, one thing most people don't know is Chinese nationalists let the Japanese in. Think about that for a minute. Think about that. China's whale-inspired tech hunts 1,400 Starlink satellites in record time. Wow. Chinese researchers have simulated space operation to approach and potentially target Starlink satellite constellation. You know, the next war, it's going to be taking out comms. It's going to be helter-skelter high-tech warfare. You would imagine whale-inspired tech hunts 1,400 Starlink satellites in record time. Take out all the internet, then Elon Musk's internet takes over with his new Chinese-style social credit system, where if you say the wrong thing and piss them off, you lose all your privileges. I can see it happening already. China might be doing the world a favor. Maybe. You know, I'm not going to say that on the record because God only knows what laws I'd be breaking in the future America when this is played forward. But the U.S., of course, the U.S. has by far more space assets than any other country. It's not even close. But at the same time, China is fielding lots and lots of missiles that can target satellites and target tech goodies in space. Last news piece of the day, and this is very white pilling. Some people ask me, why don't we bore white farmers in South Africa fight back? Why we don't fight back? Ig Maas, 72, cattle, Lucerne farmer, was attacked twice. Let's see here, was attacked twice in 1 year. First by a gang of black men at his farmhouse. He's a buff-looking old 72-year-old dude. First by a gang of black men in his farmhouse near Hankey. They fired 5 shots at him, 1 in the leg. He emptied 19 rounds on them, and they fled. Second attack a couple months later, he shot and killed the attacker in his farmhouse. Ig said he carries his pistol, and farmers in South Africa must never get too relaxed and always stay vigilant. Never relax. It just had to share the story again. It's not all of us that survived 2 attacks. Attacks on farms and in towns are increasing at an alarming rate. Arm yourself, defend yourself. There are evil bastards among us. When they sing, they want us dead. They are not joking. But you got old white dudes still fighting, still hanging in there. And he does look in good shape, though, for 72 years old. Carries his pistol. That's what you got to do. You got to defend yourself. But I appreciate you guys tuning in. Let me make sure. Looks like we're spinning a little bit on Odyssey. I appreciate you guys tuning in and supporting the show. I will be back on Friday. Something new, something interesting. Covering the news. And stay tuned, guys. We'll have on Warren Baylog, of course, next Monday. But I'll be back with you Friday. Stay safe out there, and thanks for your support. And just refresh, yes. Cheers, guys, and good night.